This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Boston Public School Superintendent Brenda Caselius has reached an agreement with the Boston Teachers Union so they can start bringing students back into classrooms in earnest. The phased return to hybrid learning, it begins February 1st. Now, we've been checking in with Superintendent Caselius throughout the pandemic, and she joins us again now. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Superintendent Caselius.
Hi, Tiziana and listeners. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. Now, I don't know about you, but I have aged a year in the last 11 days alone. So how are you? How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm happy that we've got this agreement behind us and we're able to provide some certainty to our educators and to our families who have been asking for that. We have a pathway forward for the remainder of the school year to open up safely and successfully. So I'm feeling some relief with that, as I know our families are. As we get ready to open up our doors further to more students.
You know, you talk about that sense of relief. I've been imagining that there must have been both collective sighs of relief and of worry from families as you announced this plan. And I wonder if there's been any response you've heard from a family member or a family in the system in the last 24 hours that is really sticking with you, that really comes to mind.
Well, I heard from Roxy Harvey, who has been on our HIP task force, our high in-person priority task force, working alongside us. And she's, you know, asked me about being able to return and could we return students sooner? And so, you know, they're anxious to get their students back and make sure that we want to be able to get all of our students back as early as possible, but to do so safely. She's just been wonderfully supportive, as has many of our parents and families. Also, when we returned some of our schools, 28 schools, right before Christmas, I had a parent who said, you know, I was losing my child and felt like I was losing my child. And just 2 days of in-person, she told me that she just felt him coming back to her again. And it was just such a blessing. So, you know, there's those who are really happy to come back and those who are anxious to come back. And then those who are also real happy with their remote learning experience as well.
You know, that kind of leads into a question that I wanted to ask you. You talked about the family who felt like they started to see their child again, get their child back with just a couple days in the classroom. We know that Governor Baker has made it clear he believes it is largely safe to have kids in school and that the trade-offs make it necessary to do so. We also know we're in a tough situation. There is urgency for the reasons you just said. We are halfway through the school year, but our infection numbers are spiking, hospital capacity is challenged. Most kids are probably still several months from getting vaccinated. What about concerns that this is a great thing with bad timing, given that the rollout begins February 1st?
Unfortunately, this past year, since March 17th, there's not been anything that's been good timing. So that's been the struggle, is that no matter which way we go, that's no win. And because we just have not been able to have a long period of sustained numbers coming down on these metrics around the virus, it's made it quite challenging for school districts here in Boston, across the Commonwealth, and really across the entire country to open safely. And so now we're almost a year in, and it's getting to be quite a long time, and the cumulative effect of having children out of school is quite concerning for pediatricians who believe that it's the best place for children to be in, educators who believe it's the best place for children to learn is in the person with their caring and loving teachers. However, we also know that our Boston Health Commission, who has been incredibly supportive to us and making sure we understand the emerging and changing and shifting science of this virus, has just been wonderful to us in helping us guide when it is safe to do so. So we will really lean on them and depend on them about reopening. And this is a timeline they feel comfortable with to give us enough time to watch it just a little bit longer before we have more students coming back.
There's so many things in what you just said, threads that I want to pick up on. I think I'll go first. You talk about the fact that we're getting close now to a year for a lot of young people in the Boston Public Schools to not have been in a school building. And you talked about the loss of learning there. At this stage, have you started to quantify that? Do you have a sense, especially for the most vulnerable learners, about what the magnitude of that learning loss is?
We have, and so we've been looking at their grades. It's been hard to assess students fairly, so we've been looking at their grades, and our high school superintendents especially have been working with the heads of schools to look at no credits and incompletes, and that's on the academic side, and so we've been doing work there. But then there's also this other side, our social-emotional impacts and the isolation, social isolation for children. That has been very concerning, and very concerning for our families, quite honestly, and wanting to get their children back in school for the social reasons that are so necessary for their mental health. So we're monitoring both of those with our coordinated behavioral health services, as well as our heads of schools and our counselors and social workers within our schools who are checking in with our kids.
And I'm trying to sort of get my head around this in a really concrete way. Are you seeing more loss than you expected over this period of time, sort of, you know, learning loss and social emotional development about the same as you expected? Have you been pleasantly surprised? Again, I'm just trying to, for a layperson, get my head around the magnitude of this.
Well, you know, we're a district with 53,000 students and 125 different schools. And I think what we see is a little bit different at different grade levels. So for instance, our early childhood, our children who are 3, 4, 5 year olds, who have a very difficult time sitting still in front of a computer to learn remotely, and young parents who may be having a challenge with trying to keep them engaged in that kind of learning, I think has put them somewhat more at risk of being behind. And then we see with our older students, our grades 9 through 12, also struggling because of the social emotional impacts mostly. Some of them also are having to care for younger siblings and also having to help the family through this crisis. And so we know that, and they've expressed to me, I meet with the student advisory and my youth council and my youth cabinet quite frequently, and they've described to me how very challenging it is to be in this type of environment. And I do wanna say that for some students, we have been surprised, mostly at the intermediate grades, where this learning model has worked. Grades 2 through grade 6, they are much more engaged. It seems to be a platform where they are able to follow teachers' directions better. And the peer-to-peer, they don't have the same kind of inhibitions that maybe older children might have. So I think that has, you know, kind of been some of the observations that we've made. Concretely for grades for our high school students, we're about 4% more failures than we were the previous year.
So I want to pick up on two other threads and things that you've already said. You mentioned the 53,000 students that you're a steward for a moment ago. And earlier you said, no matter which way we go since March, it's a no win. What?
Well, it's challenging
to be in a no-win situation when you are stewarding 53,000 students.
Well, it's decisions making. I mean, so I think that there are wins that we're having, and there's lots that we're learning that I think we can apply. For instance, we've learned how to feed 3 million meals to children. We've learned how to become a one-to-one school district overnight, meaning getting kids on technology, and we've been able to successfully have remote learning for students, for many students. I guess what I'm saying a no-win situation was when we get into decisions about what direction to take next, because we've surveyed our parents, and it's no matter what, it always ends up being 50% want it this way and 50% want it the other way. Or when we talk to our teachers or educators or school leaders, you know, there's just a lot of opinions about how to move forward. And I guess that's what I mean in my earlier comment.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not, you know, the thing that I'm thinking, I'm just going to tell you, the thing that I'm thinking is there has to be some moment in the last year where you were like, man, I did not sign up for this, or I hit the wall here. Has that happened for you?
Well, I think it has happened for probably every superintendent in the nation that, you know, we're all working at least 10 hours a day, many times 12, 14 hours a day. It's quite exhausting. It's exhausting for our educators, and I want to thank them for their tireless work, as well as our school leaders, our facility staff, our custodial staff. I mean, everybody is working around the clock. I just had a new colleague start the work here just a week ago, and she was saying, oh my gosh, I just can't imagine. I've been doing yoga for 9 months, she said, and I can't imagine doing this pace of level of work for over the past year. So certainly yes, but getting up every day knowing that you're taking the next right step for kids is absolutely worthy work. And to be able to do it in a city that's been so incredibly supportive, no matter what. And I think the city pretty much knows that this is a very challenging situation. And so I have three words that I've been using all year: flexibility, patience, and grace. And Boston has just been fantastic in supporting us in that.
So let's go back to brass tacks. As students begin to come back into the classroom, when someone says to you, I need to know my child will be safe in that classroom, or a teacher says, as a teacher, I need to feel safe in that classroom, what are you telling them to give them confidence in their physical safety in the classroom as everyone begins to return?
It's easier when we can show them that it's safe, and when they get to the open school. So, you know, just to speak specifically, you know, in our 32 schools that we have open right now, once teachers come and they actually see the building and work with their other teachers, that's helped. But we have put in new HVAC systems, new filters for those HVAC systems, air purifiers in our classrooms, new monitoring and air testing that we've put in. We've ordered data loggers, which will give us on-time measurements so that we can mitigate any time that it's not. And that's a measure of safety. We've also have personal protective equipment, PPE, for everybody in the school building. We have a hand sanitizer there. The custodians, who have been, oh my goodness, just wonderful, have been going around the school, spraying the high touch areas, cleaning down our desks. You know, we take time between our A and B groups to really do a good sanitizing between those two groups, limiting the number of students and staff in a building. You know, just a number of those things, plus all our other protocols with our school nurses, who have also been fantastic in helping us be the front line of really identifying quickly if someone's not feeling well, isolating them, and then making sure that they follow all protocols, you know, when we think there could be a case coming into the school.
All right, last question for you. This plan, you released it alongside the Boston Teachers Union. Just about a month ago, they had issued a vote of no confidence in you after the district announced an expansion of in-person learning for highest need learners. How did you get from there a month ago to a joint agreement now?
Well, it's a lot of talking, and it was during that time as well. And I think that was, you know, they're letting me know that this is serious, that they really were wanting these safety provisions to be expanded to all schools, which we had been doing. So I want to be clear that, you know, all of these safety provisions are in place and were in place, but it was really important to the union to have them in writing. And so as we continue to cultivate trust in this school district and to work toward greater and better collaboration, I think that's where I'm hoping this agreement will bring us toward. So I'm excited about what this will bring and the joint task forces that we will be announcing soon for summer boost and returning strong this fall will help us turn this corner into the new year.
All right. That is Boston Public Schools Superintendent Brenda Caselius. Superintendent, thanks for joining us again today. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, TCN. I hope you have a wonderful day, and be safe and wear your mask.
Thanks, I will.
Okay, thank you.